It's a panic attack.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Good to have you along as we continue with Fallout, our special coverage of the global financial crisis. The fallout is in the numbers this morning. Stock markets in Asia and Europe were put through the ringer today. Now it's our turn. The Dow is down 4.2%, or 368 points. Some immediate causes: word of negative economic growth in Britain, as well as more profit warnings from big companies like Sony. But a more fundamental market force seems to be at work. Some are calling it forced selling. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch explains.
In the not-too-distant past, investors around the world borrowed money to buy stock. It worked great when the market was going up. They paid off their loan and made a killing. Robert Dunn is a professor of economics at George Washington University.
Leverage is a wonderful thing when asset prices are going up, but it's a two-edged sword when prices go down. Leverage is very, very dangerous.
That danger is evident this morning as stock prices sink around the world. As those stocks lose their value, banks demand highly leveraged investors pony up more cash.
The deleveraging is quite something as the banks move aggressively to protect themselves against prices that continue to go down.
Dunn calls this forced selling, as investors sell off their stocks rather than borrow more money. This creates a downward spiral, as dropping prices cause more sell-offs, pushing prices down further. Dunn says we've seen this sort of thing before.
And that happened in the 30s.
I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
The Dow is still down more than 4%. Japan's Nikkei dropped nearly 10% today. European markets are lower by about 8 to 9%. Richard DeKayser is watching the markets from his office in Washington, D.C. He's chief economist at National City and joins us now. Richard, we have the markets dealing with an incredible slowdown. What do you make of it?
What's driving it all is an open question. In fact, I would say psychology is the place to look more than economics. Reports as to what triggered this latest event is worries about earnings, i.e. worries about a deeper and longer global economic recession. But for that kind of worry to emerge over the course of a 24-hour period without any real compelling evidence to support it is a bit of a stretch.
So what's your view as to how serious this recession may be?
My best judgment is that the recession is likely to be a modest one. The two big bogeymen have been the housing market and the commodity markets. Well, commodity prices have fully reversed and are now very low, and that'll be helpful to consumers going to the gas stations or the supermarkets. The housing market does remain in a tailspin, but mathematically it's almost impossible. Well, it is impossible to reproduce that kind of decline going forward.
But I guess there are some realities to this panic, like unemployment. How are we going to see the unemployment picture change in the next couple months?
Well, we're not likely to see a change for the better in the next couple of months, and that is to say these financial repercussions are reverberating in the real economy. The question is, do we start to see some traction that begins to turn this market around? Now, the government policy actions taken have been extraordinarily decisive and, in my opinion, right on target. But again, they have proven insufficient to overwhelm this tide of pessimism.
Richard, what about the psychology for the rest of us outside of the financial services industry? What are we supposed to think right now, the average investor?
Oh, I think the most important thing to do is not to panic, not to make decisions based on the short run and lose sight of the big picture. What we're going through is extraordinary, but that does not mean extraordinary is likely to get even more extraordinary.
Okay. Chief Economist of National City, Richard DeKayser. Thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure, Renita.
And some breaking news. We're just hearing PNC Financial Services Group said it agreed to buy National City in a $5.6 billion transaction. This is the Morning Report for Friday, October 24th on Marketplace.org. This morning, OPEC oil ministers meeting in Vienna agreed to cut production by 1.5 million barrels a day starting next month. But oil is still trading below $65 a barrel this morning. That might sound great as you watch the price of gasoline fall. But as Sarah Gardner reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, as oil goes, so goes renewable energy.
The global credit crunch has already stalled some renewable energy projects, and the falling price of oil and gas undercuts the incentive to start these projects in the first place. Kevin Book at FBR Capital Markets says take natural gas prices. They have to get pretty high for, say, wind power to look affordable.
You have to get up into the $9 to $10 range just to make a wind project with the federal subsidy work.
This week, natural gas prices ran below $7 per thousand cubic feet. Falling energy prices can also dull the public's sense of urgency about cutting their own energy consumption. But Ethan Zindler at New Energy Finance foresees a new frugality.
I'm dubious that a drop in the gasoline price, even by a dollar, is going to convince Americans to truly return to carefree spending ways.
Long-term analysts predict oil prices will head back higher anyway, making renewables more attractive again. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Today, Congress holds a hearing on the health of American pension plans, specifically a government program to ensure millions of pensions for companies that go under. But as Marketplace's Steve Henn tells us, it's been a rough year for that federal fund.
The Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation is a multi-billion-dollar federal backstop that ensures retirement benefits for millions. California Congressman George Miller says at the beginning of last year, the PBGC had more than $68 billion in assets, conservatively invested. Then
they decided that they could get higher yields, higher returns by entering into riskier investments.
They bet heavily on equities, and in the past 12 months, the PBGC lost more than $4 billion.
We experienced a loss of approximately 6.5%, which is considerably better than most other participants in the markets.
Jeffrey Spiker, the PBGC's spokesman, says he wishes his own investments had fared as well.
My retirement account would be looking better now.
But Congressman Miller says the fund should never have taken on those new risks in the first place. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
The Russian stock market has dropped a whopping 70% since the spread of the credit crisis. At the same time, the country's currency has now hit a new low. As Megan Williams reports, Russia is throwing money at it to prop it up, but so far to little avail.
The Russian central bank is buying up rubles like there's no tomorrow. Everyone else, though, is rushing to cash them in for dollars and euros, and that's driving the ruble down. The credit crisis pushed Russian industry to sell off assets and beg for bailouts. Now, with the price of oil and gas plummeting, Russia's once bulging budget could be heading for a deficit. Half the country's income is from oil, and production is dropping along with price. Russia has $500 billion in cash reserves. But as the rush away from the ruble picks up, even that may not be enough to keep its currency steady. For Prime Minister Putin, whose power has been propped up by high oil prices, that's not good news. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
I should mention we have some great videos online at marketplace.org with explainers of what's behind the financial crisis. Be sure to take a look if you haven't already. A lot of companies are struggling right now, but the Walt Disney Company is still cashing in on the craze known as High School Musical. High School Musical 3 opens in theaters today. The franchise is already huge, and now Disney's trying to make it bigger. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith has more.
As far as making money goes, High School Musical is practically in a class by itself. It began as a movie on the Disney Channel and became a $100 million franchise with its own concert tour, ice show, best-selling album, and Wii game. Now it's headed for theaters. Entertainment analyst Hal Vogel says taking High School Musical to the big screen will expand the product possibilities even more.
They have a lot of ancillary revenues, everything from merchandising, toys, and spin-offs. So the business looks at these blockbuster tentpoles, as they call them, to be very important events.
There's just one problem. It's senior year for lead characters Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens. Disney is hoping to sustain the High School Musical franchise by introducing younger cast members into the film. The movie is expected to score $35 million this weekend. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
We're launching an occasional series today called What's the Fix? To start us off, commentator Susan Lee shares her thoughts on the government's role in the financial mess.
We're about 6 months into the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. The question on everybody's mind, how do we get out of this? Well, I've got some bad news. There is no way out. Not after Washington showed it can panic with the best of them. Consider what's happened. The government has motored out a $700 billion plus bailout. That's a lot of bucks considering nobody even argued the bailout would work. In fact, the only impact on which everybody agrees is that the bailout will push the budget deficit up to almost $1 trillion and require higher and higher taxes. The government has also nationalized almost half the banking system. And so far, the only result is the banks want still more money. And don't forget Fannie and Freddie. By taking over these two mortgage giants, the government has pretty much taken over the home mortgage market. Yet, mortgage rates have climbed while house prices continue to drop. Okay, maybe that's unfair. These things take a while to work. But this display of utter panic has resulted in massive uncertainty. And there's nothing the markets hate more and fear more than uncertainty. No wonder investors have become so risk-averse they've taken trillions of dollars out of the stock market. 6 months ago, the country was headed into a recession. The drop in home values made that inevitable. The best course of action would have been to take our very large lumps. Most likely, that would have meant a short, maybe steep recession. And yes, lots of firms in the financial sector would have gone bust and investors would have lost money. But now, by aggravating the financial crisis and scaring the pants off investors, the federal government has almost ensured a very bad, very long recession. It's not often one gets to quote Napoleon, but here goes. In politics, stupidity is not a handicap.
Economist Susan Lee writes a weekly column for Forbes.com. Be sure to stay tuned today for more of Marketplace's fallout coverage of the financial crisis. I'm Renita Jablonski in Los Angeles.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.